So in Luke 10:25-37, a lawyer comes to test Jesus. He asks Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life, and Jesus says, "What is written in the law?" And the man says what he already knows: "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself." But then the man goes on. I want you to sit back and listen to this word of God, the story of the Good Samaritan. Listen to this word of God for you from Luke 10. And as you hear these words, listen the first time for a word or a phrase that jumps out at you. Hear this word of the Lord. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three," asked Jesus, "was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Listen for that word or phrase that stood out to you in that passage. Now listen to these words again and ask, "God, what are you saying to me in this passage?" Hear this word of God for you. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three," asked Jesus, "was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." What did you hear God saying to you in that passage? What was God's message to you, or maybe to us? As you think of that, let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and open our hearts and minds to your presence in our lives. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We have passed by on the other side, haven't we? We have sometimes moved away from those who are hurting or needy. We have ignored cries for help, haven't we? Sometimes we've even heard a nudge from God that we should do or say something, and we ignored that because it's easier said than done to be a good Samaritan, isn't it? What's always so interesting in this story to me is that it is a Samaritan who was good, not the priest, not the Levite, both people who would have known God's law and the commandments and the prophet's words to love your neighbor, and they don't bother to do what is right. The Samaritan was the person despised by most Jews, considered less than, unequal, on the outside of society. This was not a good person. This was not even a person, according to some people. And yet, this was the man who stopped to help. And he did more than just check on the man. He saw him and was moved with pity. He bandaged his wounds. He puts him on his own animal, takes him to an inn, takes care of him. The next day he gives money to the innkeeper so that he will take care of him. Think about that. During this Lenten season, we've been talking about how to walk with Jesus. And today we have this example of the Good Samaritan walking with Jesus, serving in his name. In his book, The Walk, Pastor Adam Hamilton talks about a man who wanted to take his life. His name was Kevin Hines. Kevin Hines went to the Golden Gate Bridge, ready to jump off and end it all. But on his way, he said to himself, if even one person just looks and smiles at me, I won't jump. You know what happened? No one even stopped to look at him. He climbed to the edge of that bridge and he did it. He jumped off. Somehow, miraculously, he lived to tell about it, and he lived to tell others the importance of a kind word, a smile, of taking notice of people who are ignored. Friends, we all know that life in this world is not as it should be, but we as Christians are called to help bridge that gap. We're called to a higher standard of life, of care and compassion and service. We're called to be a good Samaritan, whatever that means in our lives, however God calls us to reach out, right? But I want you to think of a time when you passed by on the other side of the road, because we've all been there, haven't we? Maybe we just felt like we were way too busy. Maybe we felt scared or too anxious to help. How does that decision make us feel now? We feel some real regret, don't we? Now think of a time that you did stop to help. When you did take the time to reach out and offer a helping hand, how does that decision feel? One brings regret, the other brings life, doesn't it? Why are we called to that way of life? Well, we're Christians, followers of Jesus. And Jesus himself said he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life. In Matthew 20:26, Jesus says, whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul says that serving is our way of life. It's what we're created by God to do. He says we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. It reminds me of some wise words of the Presbyterian pastor, Mr. Rogers, who said, when I was a boy and I would see something scary on the news, my mother would always say, look for the helpers, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. I wonder if we're doing that today. Are we looking for the helpers? Are we trying to be the helpers? Helping, serving. The words serve, service, servant, and serving appear over 1,000 times in the Bible. It's what God has called us to do from the beginning of time. It's what we heard today in Joshua 24. But what does it mean exactly to serve the Lord? Well, we know from Scripture that it means more than just giving some stuff to God, more than just writing a check to the church or a good cause. In fact, in Micah, the prophet warns the people against thinking they can buy God's favor through elaborate offerings. In Micah 6:6-8, he says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. Serving is something we do, like justice and kindness and walking in humility. Serving is a verb. It's what we're created to do. It's our way of life. But how do we know when and where to serve? I had the privilege a few years ago of meeting and attending seminars with our former Peace USA co-moderator, Jan Edmiston. She offered this guideline to all of us. Ask yourself, what breaks God's heart? Isn't that a great question for all of us to think about in our own lives and in our community? What does break God's heart? What breaks God's heart near me? What heartbreaking situations do I encounter? What might God be asking me to do about that? Some of that care and service is about justice and mercy. We know this from the prophets, especially Micah and Isaiah, but also from Jesus. We know it from his whole ministry and life. We know it from the way he always cared for the least of these, the outcast, the marginalized, the oppressed. We know it from his very first sermon in Luke 4, when he reads from the prophet Isaiah in his hometown of Nazareth, and he unrolls the scroll and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, Jesus confirmed in his first sermon that he came to serve, and to serve the least, those left out, those left behind. In Matthew 25, Jesus says that whenever we have offered food or clothing, a visit or a welcome to those who are hungry, thirsty, naked, to the stranger, the prisoner, whenever we reach out to help the least of these, who are we helping? We are helping Jesus himself. This is our calling to serve. It's not optional. It's our way of life. We're called to serve the least of these. I saw a great story a couple of days ago about a woman who started a Facebook group of volunteers to make sure that those who are alone at home during this time of the virus and isolation and self-quarantine, that these people can get the groceries and medicine that they need delivered right to their door. Isn't that great? That's what I mean. That's what Jesus means about caring for the least of these, and it's just one of many simple things we can do for others in need right around us. Serving is also about transforming the world, which sounds like a tall order, right? And it is. It cannot be done without the help of Jesus, without the power of the Holy Spirit. But serving in the name of Christ is about bridging a gap between the kingdom of God and the kingdom we see here on earth. It's about praying that Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and meaning it, living it the very best way we can. Adam Hamilton, in his book, The Walk, mentions Professor Ron Heifetz of the Harvard School of Government and a diagram he has for leadership, and it's just two lines. One is a straight horizontal line that represents the world as it is. The other is a line above that at a 45 degree angle, and it represents the world as it should be. That simple diagram is a visual for something we already know. There is a gap between the way the world is and the way the world should be. And as followers of Jesus, we can and should do something about bridging that gap, no matter who we are, no matter where we are. But this means that serving is about getting beyond ourselves. It's easy, especially in these times right now of fear, times when we can't even seem to get the stuff we want or need from the grocery store, it's easy to focus on ourselves alone, to worry about ourselves. Fear is such a big factor today. It causes us, though, to be self-centered, and to not rely upon God's provision. But serving is about getting beyond ourselves and seeing others, seeing the least of these, seeing the people in the ditch, whether literally or figuratively. Now, why would we do all this service? Is it just to feel good about ourselves? Is it to earn our way to heaven? Is it to brag about to our friends and neighbors or to make our church look good? No. We know the answer. It all comes back to what Jesus said in Matthew 22. When asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's the reason we serve. The only reason we serve. It's love. Love of God, love of neighbor. And that love is not just a feeling, it's a way of life. Sometimes we feel anything but love, but we serve anyway, right? Because love is a verb, it's action. It's literally the way we walk with Jesus. So what do we do in this time of fear and uncertainty in our world? In a time when people are literally separated from each other? Well, what if we started with a simple prayer each and every day? A prayer like, "Lord, use me." What if we used the words of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who in Luke 1:38, after hearing the shocking news that she would give birth to the Savior, said to God, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord." What if we said that every single day? "Here I am, Lord, your servant. Use me." The truth is, God can use all of us, no matter who we are or where we are. We all have a sphere of influence, people we know, people we meet. We can all show the love and compassion of Jesus in a myriad of ways. There's literally no limit to how we can love each other, in person, online, on the phone, in cards or calls or visits. There's no limit to how we can love people we don't even know. Just as we heard in the story of Kevin Hines, sometimes showing love, the love of Christ, means just acknowledging that someone exists and smiling at them. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel for you this day. On this third Sunday of Lent, as we journey with Jesus, we have been called to serve. We have been called to be the Good Samaritan, not those who walk by on the other side of the road or ignore the cries of the needy. We have been given the commandment to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And we've been given, by God's gracious mercy, the power of the Holy Spirit to do just that. Friends, may we surrender our hearts and lives to God each day, saying, "Here I am, servant of the Lord, use me." And for this, let us all say to God, Amen.